Running a call center is tough. Leading a sales team is a challenge. Luckily, your hosts know what it takes to succeed. What you can expect from your two guides? Conversations that won't be overly scripted. Definitely not salesy or boring. Just filled with as much value as possible. Each week, Jason and Oliver will bring you topics to help scale your team, increase profits, and actually feel like you are winning. So, if you are ready to up your game and become the best in the business, tune in, take notes, and be prepared to learn. And here they are with another episode of Call Center Confidence. It's Jason Cutter and Oliver Katt.
Hey, what's going on, guys? And welcome back to Call Center Confidence with Cutter and Katt, episode number 3. That's right, season 2, episode 3. We are kicking off to a bang this week. And if you have tuned in for the last 2 episodes, make sure you are ready to catch up with this. Because if you haven't, you need to go back and watch them, because we are building an 8-part mini-series all about the people. That's right. We're talking leadership. We're talking salespeople. We're talking about how to manage. We're going to be talking about technology and everything else in the future. But these key 8 episodes are exactly where it's at on how to manage your people. So let's go with episode 3 of season 2. And of course, it wouldn't be happening without our fantastic co-host, Mr. Jason Cutter, is in the house. Jason, how are you doing today? You good?
I am great. I am excited. Just something about jumping on with you that's super fun. Hopefully people can tell that we vibe. We have a lot of good conversations. We have fun. And I just look forward to it. It's one of these things where, for me, I have found I really love teaching, coaching, training, guiding people, helping out in any way I can. So literally, this is one of these highlights for me, where just jump on and just help in any way we can, cover some topics. Sometimes it's tough love. Sometimes the truth hurts for many of these conversations. Luckily, for any longtime listeners, you know that we don't really pull too many punches. We'll tell you like it is, but it's because we care, right? Like Monsters, Inc., if you've seen that movie. We scare because we care, and then we want to help you then. And then we're here for that. So let's dive into this. So Episode 1, season 2, we talked about people and why they're hard to manage. Then from there, in the last episode, we went into, well, what about leadership? Like, why does leadership struggle? Why is leadership missing training? What's going on there? And then obviously that can filter down and perpetuate into why it's difficult to manage the employees. And then now we're going to talk about, which we alluded to in the last episode, why leaders fail, why they don't lead well, why they struggle. And then, of course, because we're not just about pointing out the problems that you might have, what you can do about it with some tips. So, Oliver, let's start with you on this. Now I feel like I'm running some kind of presidential debate. Let's start. let me start with you to answer this question, address it first, Mr. Katt. Why do you see sales leaders fail in those instances where they're failing, and failing meaning whatever that might mean? Maybe you need to put some context to what fail and failure looks like. But why are they failing?
Look, I mean, there's so many different ways that we can look at why people, and I hate to use the word fail, but we have to talk about it. We've got to throw that punch out there, because there are sales leaders that aren't doing what they need to do in the workplace. And I think that's one of the biggest things to address here. And when we talk about failing, we talk about not supporting their team. We're talking about not doing their job effectively, or not having the capability to do their job. For me, ultimately, I think it sits with one of the biggest things that we spoke about in episode 2, and that is the training, and that is the support. And we talked about how we can do that and how you can evolve from that. But if they are still continuing to fail, it has to be addressed very quickly, because it can have a negative explosion throughout your company, throughout the team that they are managing. And ultimately, by them not leading, they then can screw over your business in the long term, because whether it's a sales team, whether it's a service team, it's affecting your customers, it's affecting your revenue. And the bottom line is, every company is marked and monitored by one thing, and that is the revenue that they are making. And if your teams aren't being led the right way, that is going to interrupt that number. It's going to cause a problem one way or another down the line. For me, I think one of the biggest reasons why leaders fail personally is because they are too knee deep in one thing versus an entire support network. And what I mean by that is that They are focusing on what's going on in this area rather than taking a step back and looking at it from a top-down approach, looking at all the different interconnections that are causing problems here, there, and everywhere, and focusing on one thing rather than the other. I mean, we can focus on one thing as a team leader. The whole point, we get reports as a supervisor, as a manager, we get all of that information available to us. But again, if they're focusing on one fact, one figure, they're not looking at it as a wider picture. Would you agree with that, Jason?
Yeah, I think I love how you put that too, which is, you know, they're looking at one part, but not looking at the whole. They're not looking at the system. It's one of those things where, you know, imagine if you went to the doctor and you're like, I have a pain in my side or a headache, right? Let's say, oh, I have a headache. Can you give me something for the headache? Okay, cool. Here, take this aspirin, Tylenol, whatever, that'll take care of the headache. But what's causing the headache, right? Like what are the systemic issues? What are the challenges? What's going on? What are the bigger issues that are leading to that one thing? A lot of times people are too busy addressing the outward symptoms or the biggest fires or triaging the biggest issues in the moment. Mm-hmm. And because of that neglect of the rest of it, because they're focused over here, they're spinning this plate here, all the other ones start dropping.
Yep.
And then they go over there and it's like, okay, well, now we have to rebuild these things. Now we have to find more plates because those all broke. And then these ones over here break. And it's tough. Talked about this either last episode or the previous one, either number one or number two, where it's tough because you're so busy in the moment. You're so busy managing and leading. I'm just going to say, I can't think of any examples off the top of my head. I have yet to meet a manager or a leader who has the time to sit back and think and reflect in their day on what they should focus on next. Now, as you move up an organization, some of the people do, the CEO should, executives should have that time, unless it's like a schedule thing. It's usually part of a meeting where the leadership team comes together and says, all right, what do we need to focus on? Let's use this time for thinking about this strategic stuff. Otherwise, that barely happens. Maybe an offsite, maybe an annual retreat. Otherwise, it's firefighter mode for most people. And that's just fair. It's just what happens. Our human nature is like, let's just address these problems instead of fixing these other things. And then what happens is you're fixing one thing while another one's breaking. And you've literally got to balance that, you know, in the business, on the business, working on this, taking a step back. Sometimes what happens, and this is tough for owners and upper leadership to understand, sometimes you have to let some things burn down, right? Sometimes like, I've got to stop chasing this fire over here. I've got to fix the bigger problem, right? I'm sorry you have a headache, but let's deal with the cause of this, whatever that is. And so some things might fail for a while and you've got to kind of rebuild the ship.
Do you know what? I think you hit two points there that really resonate with me. The first one is, you know, stopping and letting things burn down, letting other mistakes happen. Because one thing that I've noticed in a lot of organizations and a lot of call centers is that it may not be your area or your specific department that is failing. It may be something that you're getting from somebody else, but because they're not doing their job properly, essentially it's having a knock-on effect on you. And what you do as a leader, you want your department to succeed. You want your team to do well. So you end up going to do the other person's job for them, but then letting your side down because now you're focused in another area of the business where you shouldn't be putting your nose in, but you have to, because it has a knock-on effect with your team. And I've seen that so many times that they've burnt themselves because they've been focusing too much on somebody else. And that is a really, really, really big issue, especially in contact centers, because 9 times out of 10, it's usually your support departments that are causing this pain throughout your team. And this is not to point any fingers by any means necessary, but you know, whether it's workforce, QA, training, HR, because they are not necessarily involved in the day-to-day, the support functionality of what you're doing, it is going to have that knock-on effect. And sometimes you do need to sit back, let them burn. Yes, it may cause a pain point somewhere in your team, somewhere in your department. But you know what? They've got to make their own mistakes. Don't fix it for them for the sake of losing your own sanity in your own department. Have you seen that before, Jason?
I have. And what I'll say is I've seen the opposite, which is one department is so focused on themselves and what they want to do to meet their KPIs or what they think is most important. And it causes problems in other departments, which then wrap its way around, right? I'll give you a good example. Sales says, we need this new platform, right? We need this new platform that does this thing. We're going to bring in this tool that will, you know, do our follow-up emails for us, right? They get this and then they don't really tell anybody. They don't check to see how well it's going to integrate. They don't give IT a heads up. They don't tell any other departments. So then they buy this thing, right? Then they go to IT and say, hey, IT, put this in. IT confirms with CEO. CEO says, do whatever sales says to do. IT puts it in and it breaks customer services workflows, right? I've literally seen it where customer service comes in the morning and they can't access what they need for the day because IT did something sales asked for and sales didn't think, how will this affect the whole? They just thought about themselves, which then just makes a huge mess.
And I've seen that. I'm on the same page with you. I've seen people go on to demo after demo after demo. Ultimately, you know, just to try and think of what's the next best thing to implement. And again, it screws your leaders up. You know, it's not just your support function. It screws the guys on the front, which then all of a sudden screws you because you look bad because your team can't do what they need to do. And I think that's a big thing to really kind of address straight out of the bat. The other thing that I think that really kind of sits on my shoulders of why sales leaders fail to lead is because they're not given all of the information they need to lead. They're not given everything they need. And it's the same way that, you know, when we delegate something out to a member of our team, you can delegate something out, but unless you give them the autonomy to do what they need to do, to make mistakes, to learn what they need to achieve, to do, then they're never going to be able to go out there and do the task you've set them to do in the first place. And I've seen it happen with leaders that they're told to manage this team, but you know what? They've got to wait for then workforce in the background to send you the reports. At which point you can't manage your team. You're then waiting on somebody else. And again, it's not because they're not doing their job. And it does kind of link into what I was saying a minute ago. But at the same time, it's somebody else interfering with what you do, which means you can't lead. And again, it's down to reporting or people, personnel, technology. There can be so many areas with this. And this is why the way we're doing season two now is everything interlinks with our mini series. We've talked about how our employees are hard to manage, why call center don't provide or don't supply leadership training, which again affects why leaders fail. And again, this is the whole knock-on effect of everything that we're doing because we don't want to fall into that cycle. And how many times have you seen this cycle happen, Jason? Time and time and time again. Nobody likes it. Nobody wants to be in it. But my question to you is, when you now get to this point where you are seeing your sales leaders fail, how do we get out of it? And I know we're only on episode 3, and I know we're covering this third part here, but how do we get out of this section when we are seeing managers fail? We are seeing managers let the team down because, you know what, they've got to that point now where they're beyond maybe reproach, they're beyond that kind of saving point. What do we do as senior execs, senior managers, to fix the problems with our leaders? Because they are now part of the business. They're integral into what we do. What would you do at this point?
I think the biggest part is the organization taking responsibility for allowing that to happen, causing it to happen, making it happen from the top down. Because again, like we talked about with leadership training that's usually missing in the last episode, is the company has set this person up to potentially fail or succeed, but not given them enough resources or tools or guidance. It's usually what I see. The best advice that I give is the company is to take responsibility and ownership of that to a certain point. What I've seen so many times, and I have example after example after example, where I talk to a company and they're like, this manager is not doing a good job. We need to fire them and get a different manager. Mm-hmm. And then my thought and my response is, but is it them or is it you? Do they have everything they need? Do they know what their job is? Do they have a playbook? What does their comp plan say? What are the rules of the game? Do they know what happens if they win or if they lose? Most organizations like, no, we just move them up and they should just know what they're doing. Again, see what we talked about in the last episode. And so the company hasn't set that person up with the tools that they need. And so as an organization, you need to make sure that you can answer that question without a doubt, 100%. I know I gave this person everything. and they're still not cutting it. Until mm-hmm. that point, it's on you. It's not on them. Because if you let that person go and bring in somebody else, hoping that they know what to do, you're going to keep repeating the cycle, and that person's going to fail as well. Because if that person was so amazing and they knew how to do everything as a VP of sales without any guidance, they would be running their own company, or they never would have left where they were if they were that amazing, right? On their own. So usually they're amazing, but with a team, with guidance, with the tools, you've got to make sure you supply that. If you can say that without a doubt, you've given them everything, then that's on them, right? And then how do you coach them up or out? What do you do with them then? But most of the time, it's usually on the company. Most of the time, that person is not getting it. And here's what I'll tell you too, is what I see, and here's what I've learned, is there's not enough time, and there's not enough energy, and there's not enough resources for everything that the company wants to get done, for any of us to get done, right? It's one of those things where you could say, oh, there's always enough time. At a certain point, there's not enough time to get things done, resources or energy. So from the top down, if you have a manager or a leader that's struggling or failing or not meeting whatever metric you need or not fitting in like they should, what are you trying to have them do? Mm-hmm. Is there enough time for them to do it? And do they have the resources, right? What do you need to have them do less of and more of with the resources? Or what resources do you need to bring in so they can do what they should be doing best? And if you find yourself, at, let's say, a CEO, and you say, hey, we want to start this new initiative, we're going to start this new marketing campaign. Okay, that's great. What do you want me to stop doing? Because I only have so much time and there's only so much energy and resources.
Yeah.
If you want me to do both, then you need to hire me some people who are also going to manage those things. That's the adult conversation that needs to be had.
Yeah. And you know what? I think, you know, there's those conversations. I mean, I've witnessed companies. This is how brutal some of them can be. And if you're watching and you're one of these companies, you know who you are, is where they've seen their sales manager fail. And because they can't fire them, because they can't do anything, they've got no way, because they don't know how to support that person, because they've not given them training, they've not given them the support. What they've done is they've just brought in another manager above that person to manage the manager. And again, all of a sudden, meteorites just come firing down from the top because things have got to change. And then all of a sudden, it rocks the sales force. It rocks the team underneath. Well, why have you got a new boss? What have you done wrong? And then the new boss starts leading properly and then shows that the other leader hasn't been leading and now causes a ripple effect throughout the team, because it's one of those things that you will see. And I cannot count how many times I've seen this when a new manager has come in and the team underneath them have turned around and gone, oh, really don't like that new manager. Oh, God, they're making me do this. Or they're tracking my time in. They're tracking my time out. They're making me do this. They're making me do that. And you know why? Because that is evident that the manager you had in place wasn't managing effectively. It's not the new manager. It's because the existing manager was too easy, too slack, was compromised, or whatever it might be, on the existing team. I mean, I've seen that too many times to mention. Far too much.
Yeah, and what usually happens in organizations, maybe you've seen this if you're watching this or listening to this, is manager A is not effective and everything is too slack because maybe they're pulled in lots of directions. Maybe they got promoted and they don't like that when they were underneath and they don't want to do that to other people. Then the company overcompensates, brings that manager over the top, or co-manager. It's like, okay, let's have good cop and bad cop. Then what happens is manager number two, new manager, the one you're referring to, it's too far to the extreme the other way, because the company's like, we will fix this attendance problem mm-hmm. by bringing in a new sheriff in town, right? And then you have these two different sides. The people don't know what to do. It's such a radical change from how it was to how it is. And then you end up losing a lot of people, which I think is a good place to stop, completely unplanned. But our next topic is actually about sales turnover and churn, and what causes it, what kind of things lead to that, and then what you can do about it. Why do they burn out? Why do they leave? Why do they quit? There's absolutely, I promise this, I I promise. There's absolutely no way we'll cover that in a 20-ish minute episode. So we'll see how we cover. We know how we're doing. We're doing pretty good in season two. We're keeping to the mark where we wanted to give you quality, give you value, give you some bullet points, give you some nuggets, some bombs, as Oliver would say, and drop some things on there that people can use, open your eyes about what maybe you're living in, but you just can't see, and then some ideas on what to do about it. So we will keep doing that. Might be a 2 or 3 part series just on that one alone. But that's it for episode 3. We'll end it right here. Again, next episode, we're going to talk about that turnover that's just perpetuated in organizations. It's part of life, but how much of it can you control? Mr. Oliver, thanks for being here. For people tuning in, if you're listening to the podcast, again, always make sure to subscribe. That way you can get in all of these wherever you're listening to it. Leave a rating, leave a review, and just share it so that people know what, if it resonates with them, if they're in a similar kind of environment, they can find out. Like Oliver said, I think on the first episode, over 60,000 call center companies in the US alone, which means they have 10 or more reps. Let's get this out there. Let's help everyone succeed. And then we can change the whole industry and lift everybody up. If you're watching this on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, like it, leave a comment, tell us what you like, tell us what resonated with you, what you're going to put in place. We love to hear that kind of stuff. And then share it, obviously get that out there. And then lastly, we have a guide that we've put together on this leadership part. Like, how do you prioritize? What do you look on the KPIs? So email us at info@callcenterconfidence.com. I'm happy to send you that guide. It's just a free guide, no strings attached. We just want to put stuff out there. Guides, checklists, we have a whole bunch of things. So you can also email us and say, I'm having this challenge. Do you have anything? I bet between the two of us, we have a guide, we have a checklist, we have an ebook that we can help you. Just help you in any way to be successful. And then, of course, if you have any questions for your own call center, you want some guidance, you want to talk, see if something like what Oliver and I do together would help your center scale and get to the next level, you can always reach out to us, info@callcenterconfidence.com. That's it for this episode. We'll see you in episode number 4.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Call Center Confidence Show with Cutter and Kat. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We really appreciate that effort. For more info about the show, you can always go to www.callcenterconfidence.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.